This podcast is being sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Come visit us at ColdSlitherPodcast.com and then click on the link through our front page to MyComicShop.com. Shop there and keep the podcast going free. And you'll get new releases of comic books delivered right to your door. MyComicShop.com through ColdSlitherPodcast.com. Do it today. The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight I'm joined by at PCN underscore dirt on Twitter. Yay! Make sure to go to his website, PopCultureNetwork.com. And the man behind the sound effects tonight is at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
Agent 70 was at New York Comic Con this past week.
Yes, fresh from New York Comic Con. And we're going to get to a lot of the announcements and news. I just wanted to show off a couple of the cool things that I got at New York Comic Con. I did, in fact, get a sheet of the Batman stamps.
Ooh.
I did get a sheet of them. I did run into the co-creator of the Fifth Beatle, the artist on the book, who worked with our former guest, Vivek Tiwari, and he signed my copy of The Fifth Beatle. That's Andrew Robinson. Shout out to Andrew Robinson. See, that's his signature right there. It's a little small, but trust me, it's there.
Yeah, you can see it.
All right. I got lots of cool signatures. Trying to think of some of the other cool things I got. I may have to show those off in a minute. Not so much free stuff this year. There was a big rush for the free stuff. They received a lot of it for Kids Day on Sunday. Very quickly, if anyone has been reading online some of the news report, some of the releases from Read Pop, the organizers of New York Comic Con, state that this year they pulled in over 4 days, roughly 150,000 attendees. And that surpasses this year's attendance for 4 days at San Diego Comic-Con by roughly 20,000, which makes New York Comic-Con purportedly the biggest pop culture convention in America. Trust me, I basically met all 149,999 people that were there, including me, because we're all rubbing up against each other trying to get in and out of things, in and out of the building, in and out of the show floor, in and out of Artist Alley. So I probably bumped into every single last one of them. Let's see if there's anything else I can think of.
The New York Comic Con, when Reed Pop announced that number, did they say whether or not they took into account multiple tickets registered to the same person? Like if someone bought a Thursday and a Friday pass, do they count as two people or do they count as one person?
I'm not 100% sure. I have to take a look at Reed's announcement. I just grabbed the number because I thought it was significant because it's no longer statistically
well, but it depends because
significant, you know what I mean?
San Diego, you know, runs a script and just basically says, okay, this is the same person that was there on Friday and Saturday, so that counts as one person. But then Reed Pop is just going basically by number of tickets. And that could make a significant difference because I'm sure a lot of people were there for more than one day.
Right. I don't think you can actually count the person. They probably double count the person that has a single Thursday and a single Friday and a single Saturday ticket. They can't help that. But the last 2 years they've had these RFID chips in the passes. in your badge so that when you walk in, they, you know, they scan you when you come in. So that's probably how they're keeping track, and they've probably got more accurate number.
But you would have two separate passes, though, right?
Correct. Right. So you can't help for those people that weren't able to get multi-day passes. So
I wonder if San Diego just automatically says, "Okay, that was one person on 2 days."
No idea.
That's two people.
No idea. It could be a means to boost their numbers.
That's the power of statistics.
You gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Fellow tweeter at Variant Dash, who was at Comic-Con this past weekend, tweets at me, supposedly the sales are, quote, unique people.
Right.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. Supposedly. Oh, here's something cool I did get. If you guys, for viewers of the show who tuned in last week, you saw that I'd prepared some business cards to hand out, and I did, in fact, hand them out to creators and publishers and creative staff at different booths. I did, in fact, meet DMC. I got a copy of his graphic novel. It's basically a trade paperback. Nice. His graphic novel signed. It's signed to me, to my secret identity. You know, I'm putting it all out there for people to see. And I did hand him a card. I said, "Hey, you know, I told him we do a podcast. I invited him on, and you know, let's hope that he gets in touch with us." But it was nice to be able to hand out a card, and believe me, it was cool. It was pretty cool. Everyone was marveling at how good DMC looked, and the book's actually pretty good. See what else I got. Oh, you guys will appreciate this. I know you've been reading this. Letter 44. Charles sold me on this, like, on the spot. I had a chance to talk to him about, you know, being an attorney and doing things for fun as opposed to just, you know, your law practice. We had a nice chat to the point where there were probably people online behind me, like, ready to strangle me because we were talking for a good, you know, 5 to 7 minutes about just life and law. And he sold me on letter 44, so I picked up the first trade.
Nice.
Is that a hollow foil cover?
I think there is something reflective about this.
It's my sunglasses 90s.
Are preventing me, right? My sunglasses are preventing me from really being able to tell. But yeah, there is some shininess to this. Let's see if there's anything else that I want to talk about real quick. Oh. One of the coolest creators I ran into, and if I could just find my copy that she signed, was G. Willow Wilson, the writer of Ms. Marvel, and you know, she's also been announced to be writing a new X-Men book. I mean, one of the current X-Men books. That's one of the announcements we're probably going to cover. She was very cool, and we also talked for a couple of minutes, and I probably annoyed the people behind me online about how you know she's bringing a different voice to the Marvel Universe, and I also told her that her writing makes me feel old because of the dialogue that she gives Kamala Khan and her fellow supporting cast in the book. But you know, she was very cool. Oh, got this signed in the corner, and also the whatchamacallit, the editor Sanaa Aminat also signed it for me. That's one of the panels I attended.
Women of Marvel.
Yes, real quick, just a couple of quick notes. I don't want to spoil the entire article that I've already mostly drafted for the Comic Book Chronicles website, the Click Nations website. Tune in over the weekend. I'll be posting this article in full in addition to pictures I took of cosplayers and of the con. So be on the lookout for that. I'll make sure to tweet out notice that it's been posted. But just very quickly, what was cool about this year's con was, one, they must have increased cell service because everyone was able to get a good signal in the depths and the bowels of the Javits Center, which means no one was, you know, there were far fewer people running out of battery power on their phones. You weren't going into airplane mode. You didn't need to go into airplane mode. That was pretty cool. Artist Alley was, again, a highlight for the con. You know, it's based in the North Pavilion, so it's very roomy. Most of the major publishers had very nice booths with nice presentations, with the notable exception of DC, because they stay losing, or at least the publishing arm stays losing. I don't know if they're holding back until the movies. You know, we'll talk about the movie slate that they just announced. But, you know, when you compare the booth presence of all the publishers and DC, it was pretty, you know, it was pretty, you know, shameful that they would put themselves out. They literally had this one signing booth in Artist Alley and no presence on the show floor. And finally, with regard to, actually, let me break this up into two parts. Panels and Hollywood related things. So Hollywood related things, it's constantly encroaching upon New York Comic Con. One, there were announcements for TV, Netflix. There were some movie things. If you guys were keeping, if you guys and the viewers and listeners at home were keeping track of New York Comic Con, you heard that was it Tomorrowland? Is that the movie that George Clooney is in?
Yeah.
Right. So George Clooney makes an appearance at New York Comic Con on Thursday. So seriously, if George Clooney's showing up, yeah, granted it's New York, but still he's showing up at New York Comic Con. You know, it's pretty much a big deal now. If it wasn't already, it's a big deal now.
Yeah, but to me, that's go-away heat. I don't want movie people. I want comic people. Get out of my show.
Yeah.
Right, but
stuff my yard.
Yeah, exactly. And believe me, I appreciate that. I do, but you know, it's just it goes to show that New York Comic Con is no longer the little brother. It's definitely a peer to San Diego. But that makes panels very hard to get into. You know, throw in the crowds, the extra crowds, that the increasing crowds that I was talking about before, makes things very hard to get into. So one of the things I have to do next year is we have to put our best efforts into getting press passes. And in terms of the panels I made it to a few panels. It was a little easier to get to on Friday. I made it to some of the Marvel 75th anniversary panels. I attended the Diversity at Marvel panel, which was pretty neat. I made it to the Guardians of the Galaxy history panel. And I also made it to the Hip Hop and Comics panel, which was pretty cool because we had some hip hop luminaries show up, including the great producer Pete Rock. And you know, that was pretty interesting. I'll have write ups on some of these panels also in this article. So it was a good time, definitely exhausting. I think next year I'm going to get a 4-day pass if I do not have a press pass. Because you need now the full 4 days to take in the entire con, try to space out your experience, to give yourself time to shop on the show floor and go to panels and get your book signed and meet creators. It's a lot of things to do, you know, and you have only 4 days to do it. You know, this year I had a 3-day pass thinking, oh, that's plenty. It wasn't. It turned out to be not enough, and that's pretty, you know, that's good and bad. You know, it's good because it shows that there's a lot to do at the show, but it's bad because there's still so much to do at the show.
Nice.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
As Agent 70 said, his post will be up on the website, so make sure you're following at the Click Nation Twitter account, and of course, make sure to bookmark theclicknation.com.
Let's do our plugs.
Yes, so theclicknation.com. Much more. Ding.
I was about to say you broke up on me. I had no idea what was going on.
Oh. As I was saying, at theclicknation is the Twitter account. TheClickNation.com is the website where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. Like the Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. Remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are a member of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network. You can find the whole network. You'll be joining us soon.
That's right.
And The entire network can be found at coldslitherpodcast.com.
Yay!
As we're joined by the cat.
Yeah.
People will tune in just for this.
Say hi, Nikki. People.
What's his name?
This is Nikki.
Nikki.
Nikki the cat.
She's the cat that I went to work one day, and when I came home, we had a second cat.
That's not the same cat that also joined in on an episode not long ago, is it?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, Nikki my other the exposure. Cat, yeah, my other cat, Molly, she hides, and she doesn't like to come out until it's, like, very late at night. Nikki will crawl and just, like, roll all over your face.
As he's doing now. Is it he or she? He.
She.
She likes the spotlight.
Yeah. She putting her face in front of yours, like, I'm trying
to seriously.
Let me get on this camera. For those watching the video.
Oh, we've gone off the rails. We've gone off the rails.
All right, we've got a lot of news to go through today, so yeah. Let's get started.
Let's do it.
So we talked about attendance. Marvel's to celebrate 75 years with the primetime special on ABC later this year. Disney XD is developing an animated cartoon for Guardians of the Galaxy, and they released some test footage. Marvel officially confirms end of the Fantastic Four,
boom,
at least for now.
But yay!
With the Fantastic Forever. So there's going to be a Ultimate Spider-Man, Web Warriors, and Avengers Reassemble with Joe Caramagna and Jim Zub.
Mm.
Well, I know Web Warriors is a kid's book. Is Avengers Reassemble the kid's book also?
Or just Avengers Assemble Season 2, I think it's called.
Oh, okay.
The title says they reassemble with Caramagna. Caramagna and Zub. So at the Spider-Verse panel, which was Marvel's last panel on Sunday, they announced a couple more new books they have come in the Spider-Man corner of their universe.
Oh, they totally shut me out of this panel. It got crowded so fast.
I can imagine.
Mm.
So they have Silk, number one, and Spider-Gwen, number one, will be launching, I believe, next year. Both of them.
I was about to say, spoiler alert. I will be posting a picture of an awesome Spider-Gwen cosplayer on our website. So awesome.
Nice. So, Spider-Gwen definitely very popular in the short amount of time she's been around, which is, what, a month?
Barely, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah. And I remember going on a nice Twitter rant saying, like, yeah, Spider-Gwen's not getting a title right now. But I can admit...
We're not laughing at you, Tim.
I can admit when I'm wrong. Hey.
There you go.
I was wrong. Yeah, I was going off of previous precedents. Because usually Marvel, they like to, you know, take their time with series and, you know, let things build up, but when the public demands it, they can switch course. And
yeah, that was definitely striking when the iron was hot.
So if I going off memory, Silk is by Robbie Thompson, who's
one of favorite. Robbie Thompson's on Spider-Gwen.
No, he's not.
Oh no, no, I'm Robbie Rodriguez is the artist. I'm sorry, yeah. I'm thinking of Robbie's. My apologies.
Yeah, I was getting confused with that too. So Robbie Thompson is going to be the writer on Silk. And he's a writer on Supernatural, or associated with Supernatural somehow.
All right.
And the artist is Stacy Lee.
Nice.
And Spider-Gwen is the same creative team from Edge of Spider-Verse number 2. Jason Latour, Robbie Rodriguez, and Rico Renzi, colorist. All right. What did I leave off? IDW adds Spider-Man to its reprinted newspaper strip line.
That's kind of cool. I don't know if you guys grew up reading that.
I might. I kind of remember that. The Sunday paper.
We never had those in our local paper.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't do any of the superhero stuff. We never got any of that. Yeah.
And keeping with IDW and Marvel, a new Marvel Artist Select series will be coming from Marvel and IDW. And they're also, IDW's also going to launch Marvel's Avengers Fun Packs into Walmart, Toys R Us, Target, and more. Quantum and Woody Must Die from Valiant Comics.
Really?
That's the title for the, I guess, the next volume of their series from same writer James Asmus and Superior Foes of Spider-Man Steve Lieber.
Okay. I think it's Lieber.
Dynamite's Legendary spins off three titles. DC Vertigo announced two new ongoing series from writers Tim Seeley and Gail Simone.
Which are what?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
Go look it up. Do you want to know what they are?
No, not really.
Okay. Cal Bornheimer cast in Agent Carter. Not sure who that is. Snyder and Jock's Witches gets a big screen option. Fresh off its number one issue the previous week. So
Mark Millar deal going on that one.
Yeah. Speaking of Mark Millar, he teased something on his website today, I heard, that will be revealed next week. Some new series. He posted some pencil work for a new series and was having people try to guess what the book could be. He said it's an artist he's worked with before, containing like characters he's worked on before. Some people are assuming it's a DC book. So everyone go to his website and guess.
Maybe it'll be the Ultimates.
Ah.
That universe could use a jolt of
boost.
Yeah, or to just close it off and finish it off for good.
It's like they're keeping it open. It's like they're keeping it open just because everyone keeps thinking it's going to end. We'll end it when we say we're going to end it.
I think as soon as they can find a place for Miles Morales in the universe, that'll be the end of it.
Yeah.
After Secret Wars?
Possibly.
Which will...
Part of Secret War.
Hopefully it's on here. If not, we'll mention it.
Oh, it was the first announcement from Marvel the entire con.
Yeah, I don't know if I see it on here yet, but we'll keep going. Let's go ahead since we already brought it up. So Monday, was it Monday or
Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday, the first night of the con, Marvel had this big, huge announcement that they were hyping up on social media. The biggest news ever for them.
Oh, was it Wednesday night or Thursday night?
Whichever night it was. It was sometime last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, people start speculating. Is it movie-related? So, yeah, spoiler. They announced 2015 Secret Wars from Jonathan Hickman and Esad Ribic.
12 issues, baby.
The first of many announced retreads.
All tying together somehow, more than likely.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure what exactly is going on.
But isn't that kind of cool? It's kind of like, oh, wait, what are they going to do with what we remember? You know?
I don't know. Part of it at the same time, though, it's like a good day to die hard.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know, it's like, let some of these things just live on their own. Let's not keep going back to the well.
Right. But at the same time, it still makes me feel good that they're recognizing some of the old continuity. You know, we always talk about how Marvel's sliding continuity means that, you know, it really only goes back roughly 10 years from today.
Or maybe this is their way of explaining
the sliding timeline.
Now in the timeline, yeah. Because maybe now they're going to be like, well, Civil War, that actually happened in 2011. You know,
quite possibly.
You know, or whatever.
Quite possibly. So we'll see. I'm intrigued by it.
Don't announce redoing Age of Ultron.
Try to get it right this time.
Yeah, that'll be in like December. They're going to do a 48-page special redoing Age of Ultron, but set in 2014.
That's right.
Dort Geekus says, "The Ultimate Universe deserves to die. Hope it burns in hell."
With the Sam Jackson boys. I love it. I hope it burns in hell.
So yeah, every day this week we've had a different teaser. So maybe they'll end the week tomorrow, being Friday, with... Actually, if I won't even let us know what it is, because it's so far off in the future. So,
alrighty.
Rosario Dawson's Daredevil role revealed.
Right, and spoiler alert, it's not what we think it might be. It's not what we thought it would be. It's not one of the more major, you know, villainous or supporting character roles.
Something nurse, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the night nurse, I think.
Yeah, the night nurse. I couldn't think of the other adjective for her.
She'll get her own spinoff series in a year.
That's funny.
As Dork Geeker says, whatever is going on, it's Hank McCoy's fault.
That's right. Agreed.
Dork Geeker has been on this kick lately that Hank McCoy is to blame for all this time travel mess. But no one wants to... like blame him as much as like people like to blame like Scott Summers for everything being wrong. Hank broke everything.
That's right. Just trying to fix everything, just broke it more.
Speaking of X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxy and X-Men to clash in the Black Vortex crossover between the cosmic books and at least all new X-Men as of now. They announced some of the books related to the crossover, like All New X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxy, Nova, Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon, and Cyclops. No Silver Surfer, at least right now.
Mm-hmm.
The book that's off on its own. And probably Gamora, which at the time of this announcement wasn't announced yet, but...
Right.
Yes, Gamora will begin her own ongoing series from Nicole Perlman, one of the writers on the Guardians of the Galaxy script. Peggy Carter returns in Operation Sin, and there was a new Star Wars comic unveiled.
Nice.
Marvel announces a weekly comic called Wolverine's
Boy. Oi.
It's not a Red Dawn tie-in.
What's that?
It's not a Red Dawn tie-in, unfortunately.
Ha ha ha.
If those Wolverines, I'd probably buy it.
So, weekly series from Charles Soule, Ray Fox, and Nick Bradshaw, at least starting the series off. As it follows X-23, Mystique, Sabretooth, Daken.
Yeah.
Whoever else I have forgotten.
Although, how is Daken not dead? Like, did they ever explain why he's not dead, or was it just one of those things where he came back and nobody bothered to ask?
He brought him back, and then they just left him back.
He was brought back in Uncanny Avengers.
Right.
And as you saw, he was purple there. And then in the Logan Legacy issue, which we'll be discussing later tonight, he looked fine. He looked regular at the beginning of the issue, but then during his flashback, he's back being purple again. So maybe between whatever his single issue of Logan Legacy and then Logan Legacy number one, we see how he looks normal again. Convoluted, I know.
Definitely.
So brought back how?
With the... A Death Seed by the Apocalypse Twins in Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah, that's Remender. That's Remender mumbo jumbo.
I quit.
And yes, I agree with Dork Geekus. The Nick Bradshaw art is the only draw. And this is coming from someone that actually wasn't a fan of his work on Wolverine and the X-Men. It's gotten better, though. First Powers trailer was released, and there was a New York Comic Con panel. Yes, new Ant-Man and Hawkeye comics coming in 2015. So Hawkeye Volume 2 is from Jeff Lemire and Ramon Perez, I believe. Hopefully I got that artist right. Of course, Lemire is fresh off of his exclusive DC exclusive contract. So this will be his first Marvel work. And he, of course, did a stellar run on Green Arrow for DC Comics. And Ant-Man will be from Nick Spencer and artist I hadn't heard of before. I will try to pull that up as I get to the next article. Robotech and Voltron costs over from DC and Dynamite.
Which, this confuses the heck out of me.
Which one does DC have the license for? Right.
Well, Wildstorm did have the Robotech license for a while. But when they did the last Robotech Voltron crossover from Dynamite, there was no mention of DC anywhere. So I'm not sure why. I don't know if maybe DC just one day went, hey, don't we still have that? Called up Dynamite and said, hey, you have to work with us on this now. Or what happened? I don't know. But yeah,
I'm glad that you remembered that, Dirt, because I hadn't seen this particular bit of news, and when I saw it in our recap news recap list, I was kind of confused by that. That's pretty crazy. I thought we just finished reading this.
Yeah, and well, I don't know. I'm really confused as to what this new series is supposed to be, because it just says it's going to be an old school Robotech and Voltron, which I'm pretty sure the one we just had was
right. Was old school.
Cool. So, I don't. Do they mean steampunk? Like I don't understand.
I don't know. That's funny. All righty.
So let's see. So
Daredevil.
So Ant-Man from Nick Spencer and Ramon Rosanas.
Okay.
From Night of the Living Deadpool. And there's going to be a 19 variant covers from Phil Noto in the month of February.
On one book?
19 books.
Oh, okay.
I guess is what this means. Yes. And there's a long list of them from IGN. All right. So what do we say? So, yes, Netflix Daredevil panel.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. They had a quick signing at the Marvel booth when I was there. I saw the cast. The lady that plays Karen Page is very, very beautiful in person. Vincent D'Onofrio and his bald head is very, very convincing as Kingpin. And the guy that plays Matt Murdock is actually, you're looking at him, in person. It's like, oh, okay, it actually works. I don't know if you guys saw pictures of the costume, or at least the prototype costume that hit the web.
Mm-hmm. Oh, where he's in the black ninja
right.
suit. Yeah.
Right. There's some people who are worried that it's going to be the black costume that was from the Incredible Hulk Daredevil.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That TV movie. I just have a pretty strong feeling that that's just going to be a prototype costume.
Yeah, that's his in-training costume.
Mm-hmm.
When Stick is beating him up all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. Alrighty, what's next?
What's next is G. Willow Wilson to write an arc on the female X-Men book.
Yes, I mentioned this earlier. This is a very cool announcement that she's expanding in the Marvel. She's expanding her repertoire in the Marvel universe.
I was almost certain that there would be a female X-Men book announcement of a new creative team on it, since it's kind of been up in limbo. And I was almost certain that it would be a former DC writer that Mike Martz had recruited from DC when he came over to Marvel, but I was wrong.
It happens.
As I've said enough times.
We're used to it.
Yeah. D DC Digital adds Wonder Woman 77, Mortal Kombat adds and Fables Wolf Among Us.
Okay.
Mortal Kombat I'd probably actually read.
Margaret Stoll to write Black Widow young adult novel in 2015. Talked about Gamora series. No artist has been announced yet. I forget the Patterson's person's first name. Is that the Patterson from the Twilight series? I guess let me click the link and see.
For what's the story?
Yes, Marvel, the Maximum. So Marvel's launching, has a book coming out called Maximum Ride from a Patterson person. That's a familiar name. I just can't remember off the top of my head. And I've got the page open here, since it lets me scroll down. James Patterson. James Patterson's Maximum Ride, First Flight. 5-issue adaptation of the first novel in the series. Okay. And the artist will be Alex Sanchez from Katana and Elektra. Marvel announces No More Mutants for January 2015. With Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch featured. And yes, big news, now some movie news. Robert Downey Jr. to join Captain America 3.
You know, he's getting paid! No, but Hades appear in that. That's why I hit the cash register first. But then I'll do...
So this actually happened... It came out after New York Comic Con.
Yes.
So, of course, the thought is this is going to kickstart the Civil War conflict in the movie universe.
Right.
So that's kind of cool news.
I mean, they already laid the seeds for it, I think, in Avengers, you know, in their initial interactions. So.
Correct. WB announces its DC film slate through 2020. So you can find that on various websites.
Oh, yeah, it's all over the place.
So the big takeaways, the first movie after Dawn of Justice is Suicide Squad with a whole bunch of A-list talent supposedly in talks to play the characters.
You know what's funny, though? I think the biggest takeaway from this is that they're doing a Wonder Woman movie, for sure.
Yeah, that is the biggest. And that's coming, I forget which year, 2017, 16?
Right. And I guess the second biggest takeaway for me, at least, is that they're totally shafting this poor guy that's playing the Flash on TV and Green Arrow because they've cast the Flash. Well, one, they've already said they're not going to cross over TV and movies.
Right.
And two, they've cast the Flash. They cast Ezra Miller, who some people would know from The Perks of Being a Wallflower and something about We Have to Do Something. Does someone remember that movie? I didn't watch that movie.
I hadn't heard of him or the movie.
Which movie?
He plays like a psycho kid killer, Ezra Miller. You Have to Do Something About Sam or something like that.
But either way, so yeah, Wonder Woman movie, you have Shazam coming in like 2019.
Jeez.
Justice League 1 and 2's, Cyborg, Green Lantern, Flash, no, at least as of now, no single solo movies for Superman or Batman.
But there's always room for those.
Yeah, that would bump them up to 3 movies a year, though.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind. Chop Cow launches its latest talent hunt. Search.
Get out there, Tim.
Oh, it's in the works.
Nice.
Break in the Breaking the Comics writing with Darby Pop at IDW Script Contest. I have to look at that, too. For some reason, Channing Tatum wants to introduce Gambit in a different way. It's funny, like, since his series, all the series he stars in keep getting canceled, it has me wondering, will people even care about his movie? We shall see. Bots orders full season for Gotham.
Are you guys enjoying it so far, Gotham?
It's been background.
How about you, Doug?
For me,
not really. I mean,
that sucks because I haven't. I literally haven't watched a minute of this show, and I want to try to give this weekend time to catch it up, to catch up on it. And
I was hoping for the Dark Knight movies,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of on TV with that type of realistic feel to them. And instead, I feel like I'm stuck somewhere in between the old Flash TV show from the 90s.
Yikes.
And some sort of bad drama. I don't know. One of those, like, Scandal or Revenge or one of those type terrible
shows. Okay. That's not good.
Yeah. It does all of the things that I don't want shows like that to do, where, like, every time they're in a room, the lights in the room are a certain color. So it always has that comic book panel type feel that always where it's like they go into a pharmacy and for some reason all the lights are green. And then they go into the nightclub and all the lights are red. And then they go, hello. And it's not just like, it's not natural light. Like, they actually put filters on these lights, so it has that comic book panel, like, coloring to it, and it just always looks so bad. And there's always smoke coming out of every manhole cover. There's always bright lights around every corner, so you get these big ominous shadows on the wall, and just every bad kind of TV cliche
trope,
that they always...
Yeah,
and comic book shows they're doing. So the more I watch it, the more I just get frustrated by it.
So I just saw a tweet from Dorkikus that said Channing Tatum is going to merge Gambit with Magic Mike. So you know that's actually going to sell a lot better with the females. So you know, that might not be a bad idea on Fox's part.
Get some women viewers.
Exactly. All right, what do we got next?
So supposedly Will Smith, Tom Hardy, Ryan Gosling, and Margot Robbie are in the running for Suicide Squad. Dark Horse launches a Star Wars Humble Bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Bros. Seeks to cut costs by $200 million annually. Yikes.
By laying people off? Yikes.
And that's it. Whole bunch of news.
Keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon. Visit coldslitterpodcast.com, then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the right of the page. Scroll down and you'll be able to shop at Amazon through us. There you can buy books, games, movies, music, and much more at Amazon, while at the same time helping us manage the cost of our network and keep our podcast free for you.
It'd be kind of cool if they took the four shows the way that NXT is like the single A and Raw is like the majors. They took SmackDown and Main Event and kind of made them like double and triple A and moved everybody up like that. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, according to like nerds on the internet, NXT is number one.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of they're like, oh, it's better than WWE. Why don't they put that on TV? And because it would crash and burn within the first month. It really would. It would turn into Raw.
I love Sam's love in NXT. It's awesome. it's awesome.
I don't think he despises the presentation. I think he despises the talent on it.
I despise the recognition it gets. Like, I hate how people talk about it. And then they get butthurt when, like, the characters go to the main roster and they change their gimmick. They're like, who was he like these on NXT?
Yeah, they're terrible. They're terrible gimmicks for the main roster. Terrible.
Hi, this is Sam.
Hi, this is Greg.
And this is Don DeLaRente, and you listen to the brand new WrestleCast, the only pro wrestling podcast that provides color commentary with color.
And you can find this each week on the Cole Slither Podcast Network.
All right, so now to comic reviews of the week.
Yay!
Should we start with the big death this week?
Yeah, why not?
Did Squirrel Girl die?
Only to be relaunched with a new number one.
That's right, we didn't mention that. That's just one of those little news stories that fell through the cracks. There's just so much to talk about over 4 days of New York Comic Con.
I wonder, did we talk about it last week? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Okay, so Squirrel Girl is getting a book, The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, sometime next year or in the fall.
Okay.
Yawn.
Yeah, I'm pretty nonplussed by that.
So, Wolverine died this week.
Wait. So sad.
Sad in many ways, other than the fact that Wolverine's supposedly dead.
All right, so you want to hit the... May I hit the spoiler bell and we'll just start yapping about it?
Go for it.
Warning, we're going to spoil the hell out of this book.
Hey, you're not missing much.
There's not much to spoil.
Hey, Wolverine dies.
Yeah, right? Oh! So, how could you spoiling bastards?
All right, so basically what, he finds the doctor behind the Weapons X program.
Right.
And he's getting ready to experiment on a bunch of new people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to pour adamantium into their bodies to coat their bones, just like they did Wolverine.
Right, so Dr. Cornelius makes the mistake, though, of trying to lure Wolverine back to try to steal or borrow his healing factor, and surprise, he doesn't have it anymore.
So Wolverine goes nuts on the machines and gets liquid adamantium poured all over him in order to save these innocent people.
But he diverts the adamantium from hitting these innocent people.
Yeah, so then he becomes like the toxic monster at the end of RoboCop and wanders out into the sunlight, and the doctor's been hit by shrapnel, so he dies. And then Wolverine, as the adamantium cools and hardens, falls to his knees, stares at the sun, and dies in a cocoon of liquid metal.
Right, encased. I would say preserved. We were having this discussion prior to the show. I think Soul left Marvel and out in the sense that I think Wolverine's going to be perfectly preserved inside this cocoon, inside this encasement of adamantium. No air in or out. Perfectly preserved.
He's in carbonite.
Yeah.
What can you do with him, though?
Well, you can't get him out. Ah!
What difference would it make, though? I mean, if he's perfectly encased, well, so what? He doesn't have the healing factor, so he's still dead. He's just mummified, right?
So are all these, like, series and the weekly series spinning out is going to be, like, his benefactors trying to protect his body encased in the adamantium?
There's a series coming that's Captain America and Deadpool, and they are charged with guarding his bones. Which, of course, leads to the question, how did they get his bones if he's encased in adamantium?
Maybe they're protecting his statue.
So, maybe they're protecting this glob of
adamantium
in a Wolverine shape. But apparently that is going to be one of the series that's coming.
Well, yeah, or it's not a series, but a one-shot, right?
Well, miniseries, one-shot, I don't know. But, yeah. So Captain America and Deadpool are guarding his body. Why? I don't know. It's not like...
Well, you know, it's...
Is there a factor for them to pull from his corpse, or does he have gold teeth that they're trying to keep grave diggers grabbing? I don't know.
That's funny.
So, yeah, we all thought it was anticlimactic.
Pretty much. Although I have to tell you that, you know, as a longtime reader of Wolverine, the series itself, you know, I recognize a lot of the characters and a lot of the scenes that Soul kind of retraced his way through over the four issues, and that at least was cool, but I don't think the story lived up to the hype. I don't think the story was, you know, yeah, it's been dragged on, and, you know, it's kind of nice to get closure, but it just wasn't, as you said, it was just anticlimactic. It didn't have very much oomph behind it by the time you got to the end.
Well, part of my problem was the fact that he didn't die saving Kitty Pryde or saving Jubilee or saving Storm or saving somebody that meant something to him. You know, he went in and saved a bunch of people you don't care about from having something done to them that, as a reader, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool. They're going to make these new ones. What? You know, I mean, it's not about ethics and morals. It's about storytelling. It's not like these are real people getting experimented on, so go ahead. And so he stops what could have been interesting. And so really you're just kind of left at the end with, why did I care that he sacrificed himself for this? Because as a reader, there's no real reason for me to be emotionally invested in what he's doing other than the fact that they're killing off supposedly a popular character.
The underwhelmingness of it was kind of foreshadowed just because it was how the series had been going on. Like, it was only four issues. Each issue was kind of like its own kind of like mini story. Didn't really leave much for like a big dramatic grand death, at least in my eyes. So it wasn't too alarming. I just want to see what kind of how they were going to do it.
Yeah. So not only was I underwhelmed with it, but now I have absolutely no excitement for the 9,000 spinoffs and follow-ups and tie-ins that they're doing.
I'll
read them. I may not pick them up.
Yeah. I mean, yet another weekly series that I'll try to keep up with at some point. So, Death of Wolverine, and then spinning right out of that was Death of Wolverine, Logan's Legacy number 1.
You guys read that?
I did.
Nope.
What'd you think?
I'm sorry. I looked at the artwork and I thought, I'm not reading that.
Yeah, the artwork wasn't the best, but
really?
It basically brings all of the people on the cover there that you see if you're watching the video podcast. Sabretooth, Mystique, Dokken, X-23, and Lady Deathstrike. They're all captured by some guy that we don't know, and I don't remember his name right now.
Oh, no.
Actually, he doesn't give his name. Yeah, that was the main point. He didn't reveal his name, except you see him at the end, some guy in a red mask. But they're all recruited for something, and then they're all put in a cell together, and they're basically talking about how, you know, word on the street is Wolverine's dead, but no one knows for sure. And each of them, so basically, this is a 7-issue series. I'm assuming issues 1 and 7 take place like back to back, but then issues 2 through 6 each star one of the people on the cover. And there's like references to stuff that happened in issue, like they say, like, to see what happened to Mystique, read issue, you know, Logan's Legacy number 5, or see what happened at 23, read Logan's Legacy number 2, and stuff like that. So basically, I was like, it was driving me crazy. I was like, how am I going to read something that hasn't happened yet? But those stories take place before issue 1.
That's the only hook they have to bring you back to read the future issues. Is the hope that it will explain what happens in the first one.
Mm.
So that's Logan's Legacy number 1.
That's awful.
Eh.
That's awful.
What else?
Axis.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Hey, I will say at least I liked this issue a lot better than number 1.
I have to give you that. I agree with that.
The first issue, I think, just had the wrong tone, and it, to me, it just felt like, as someone who wasn't familiar with what was going on with X-Men and everything, a lot of stuff just seemed to come out of nowhere, and had no purpose, whatever. But now that that's all been established in the first issue, we get to the second issue, I think it flowed a lot better. It made a lot more sense. It still just feels like this random battle with these giant robots and a giant red skull that just seems like the wackiest, dumbest, like the boss battle at the end of the arcade game, you know, or something like that, where it just seems really ridiculous, and I'm not sure why they're, you know, it's supposed to be this big deal. But I will say, if you read Magneto this week, Magneto does show what happens in the middle of this book when Magneto disappears and then reappears at the end.
Ah.
Yeah, I wish I'd gotten to that in the Loki book before the show.
Yeah, I didn't read Loki, but I did flip through Magneto and saw that it is a coherent tie-in.
Cool.
But, I mean, yeah, as far as this axis goes, I wasn't as mad when I got to the end of this issue as I was when I got to the end of the first.
Yeah. I'm not happy about how they're writing Iron Man right now.
Yeah, his Iron Man is rough.
I am not happy about this. And I know that they're leading towards the superior Iron Man storyline, but it doesn't feel right. So, you know, it's tough to quantify, but
I'm trying to remember, because they keep doing all these different books that are like 8 months in the future and 3 months in the future and whatever. Is this supposed to be what's happening now, or is this one of those random periods between now and 8 months?
This is now, because, okay. Yeah. Because Cap is Falcon. And
Sam Wilson, right.
Thor doesn't have his hammer.
Well, but I mean, as opposed to like New Avengers that's set in the future, where Iron Man has supposedly already changed.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the only two books in the future.
Okay.
How was Batman and Robin 35?
It was good. Let me see.
Did I finish reading this? Let's see.
He brings in the rest of the Bat family to
run. Oh, yeah, I did read this.
And they have decided that they want to, you know, go to Apocalypse and help him, because that's what you do when you're a family, you know. So they need to get there, and the only way they can do it is by basically grabbing Cyborg and tricking him and knocking him out for a little bit so they can steal his Mother Box technology so they can boom their way to Apocalypse. And, of course, when they do, Cyborg wakes up and going to follow them through just basically to see what the heck is going on and try to keep a handle on everything. And so you've got Red Hood, Batgirl, Grayson.
No, it's Red Robin.
Or Red Robin, yeah. Well, I keep wanting to call him Nightwing, and I know that.
Red Robin.
And so they all boom their way through, while at the same time Bruce has found his way to Godfrey. And I'm manhandling all these parademons on Apocalypse, where, you know, he's willing to do what he won't do back in Gotham, because these things are pure evil, and they are, you know, sacrificing people and throwing them into the feeding pits or whatever. So he has absolutely no qualms about tearing them apart and throwing them off cliffs and, you know, everything like that. So I enjoy the way that he's much darker in this storyline compared to a lot of the other one. Yeah. I mean, this is all or nothing for him, you know, and they're really playing it as if this is, you know, one of the most important things that the character's ever gone through. And it's really good storytelling. It keeps the pace up. It keeps you interested. It's bringing together all these different corners of the Bat universe, and so I've just really enjoyed it.
All right. I mean, you enjoyed it much more than I did, because I was kind of taken out of the story a little bit with there's this one scene, spoiler alert, where the Bat family says, oh, we can't leave Gotham by, you know, unprotected, so we got to make sure that somebody knows that we're stepping off planet and someone's got to take care of things. That particular scene, I don't want to spoil everything, that particular scene took me completely out of the book for the time that I was reading, and I was like, wait, what's happening? What's going on? Why is this important? You know? So
conversation with that character says, when they say we're leaving, that character says, well, you know, I'm sure Batman can take care of stuff. They're like, yeah, well, he's gone too.
Right.
That character didn't know about any of the stuff going on. So.
Yeah, I guess it's just a matter of storytelling and just covering this particular base. I thought it was unnecessary. Mm-hmm. So, but, I mean, I enjoyed it otherwise, but that particular...
I think it's one of those things that if they didn't put a scene like that in there, somebody on Twitter would go, well, hey, how come they all just left Gotham without letting anybody know where they were going?
So it's fan service now. Okay. Goodness. All righty, what's next?
Avengers World number 14.
I did read this, I think.
I enjoyed it way more than I probably should have. I mean, it was fine.
I thought it was written very well. I thought it was a fun story.
I enjoyed it a lot. It was a nice, clean ending to this kind of story that's been going on since the launch of number one.
Right, like introducing like super teams from around the world.
Yeah, so that was nice seeing all the super team, the Avengers-style teams from different countries, Euroforce and Spear, or not Spear. Spear is the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Equivalent. Then you have the next Avengers hit still here in the present. Let's see what happens with those teenagers.
Right.
But I'm enjoying the Avengers World. I was hyped for it when it launched just because it had Stefano Caselli on art. And then he kind of stayed and went. And they had some other guy on that did like two issues who I didn't enjoy at all. But Marco Cecchetto, hopefully that's how you say his name.
Mm-hmm.
He closes out the arc, does very well. So, right.
I've liked the characterization of Shang-Chi in this book.
Yeah, he does. Spencer does write a nice Shang-Chi,
and you know, there's a couple of scenes with Shang-Chi in this book that are really cool, and some of the commentary from Maria Hill, you know, talking about show me a giant Chinese man doing kung fu on a dragon. That I kind of laughed out loud reading that on the subway. So, you know, I thought that was a pretty good line. I give Spencer a lot of credit for writing a couple of nice little quips.
Yeah, Spencer's one of those guys I'm starting to root for now with the Superior Foes ending.
That was awesome this week, too.
With that and Avengers World still going on and then the Ant-Man book upcoming. Hopefully it's a big year for Mr. Spencer.
So you read Superior Foes of Spider-Man?
I did. I didn't even get to type it on my list. I did read Superior Foes of Spider-Man. This was a very interesting read. It's the ending of this particular series. Basically, it's the Superior Foes trying to take over the mob in New York and bring together all the families, the mob families and the mob associates trying to take over. If you've been reading the story, there's been some defections and some backstabbing in terms of the group of Superior Foes, but we have the core group that we've been following, taking center stage and trying to, you know, commit this coup or this basically it's a power grab in the New York underworld. I give Spencer a lot of credit for writing just a fun book. I read in multiple places that Marvel did give Spencer the room to tell his story, and you know, they've had some fun in the solicits about the status of this book and the cancellation of the book, but my understanding is that they gave Spencer enough time and enough room to tell the story he wanted to tell, so it hasn't been canceled prematurely, but he was, you know, and so to his credit, he was able to tell the story he wanted to tell. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of great gags in here, too. You'll laugh. There's a Kiss, the band, reference in this that will make you laugh if you recognize it. Let's see if there's anything else. Oh, and lastly, if you're a fan of a certain baseball team in New York City, like I am, that's not the Yankees, there's a nice little send-off on, you know, in this book based on that team as well. So tune in if you're a fan of the New York Mets.
All right. Next.
Yeah, when you get to the last, you know, when you get to the last few pages, you'll see what I mean.
Trying to think of what else came out this week.
There's a ton of stuff that came out this week. Not all of it was good, though. That's the problem.
Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, number 6.
Sure. This was a lot of fun.
Yes. So, typical Bendis issue.
Yeah. So lots of, you know, lots of, well, suspicions about the returning Peter Parker and whether or not he's a clone. We get one of the cool things about Bendis and the way he writes and the way, you know, New Marvel is started is written is that we do get a lot of the how does such and such react to the news of such and such of something happening, and this particular issue dealt with a lot of that with you know, the return of Norman Osborn and supposedly Peter Parker. We do see the spoiler alert. Unfortunate demise of a leading character in the Spider-Man universe, both the Ultimate and
maybe off panel. So I mean,
you think so? No.
And the whole universe will be gone in a year anyway. So
yeah, that's one of those things where I was reading this and I go, okay, if that actually happened, then Miles Morales is going to be joining, I don't know, New Warriors or something in 616, and the Ultimate Universe is gone.
But New Warriors is ending too.
That's funny.
Just in time for all new Warriors now.
That's funny.
But Peter Parker tries to explain how he's still alive. Not
well.
Spoiler alert, doesn't do a good job, really.
And it's also one of those where his story of what happened could mean pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he doesn't know himself.
It's a room, it's empty, all the computers are wiped out, nobody's there. You know, it's just like, oh, come on.
Yep.
That's one giant MacGuffin waiting for a retcon somewhere down the line.
So it's basically, I wonder if it means basically anyone with the spider formula in their system can't die, a.k.a. Miles.
Interesting.
Norman Osborn is alive, can't die, obviously.
Right.
Peter is alive somehow, can't die. I wonder if that means the same for Miles.
Okay.
To be seen. That just came to me. Hulk number 7 was fun. Hulk systematically taking down any and all Hulk gamma radiated characters.
So did they cancel Hulk and Agents of Smash?
Nope. Season 2 started.
So what the hell are they doing in this book? They're decimating the Agents of Smash.
Yeah, that's a kid's book.
That's a comic with them in it.
That's funny.
I did like the little part at the beginning where he's sitting down with a certain teenage hero and having a conversation with him.
Although, I want to know, when Hulk runs across Scar, why does he say, oh, hello, Scar, son of Hulk?
Scar should have been like, why are you talking in the third person again? And why is your font all funny looking? I didn't notice that, too. I was like, that was kind of funny. Scar, son of Hulk.
That's funny.
My question was like, I thought when he took the gamma out of his body. I was like, isn't he alien? So what difference does it make? Anyway.
I honestly thought he was going to be, you know, that gray skin, you know, the old power, you know, like Kyera from Planet Hulk. But, you know, that was kind of weird for me to see. You know, I thought that was kind of weird to see him basically, spoiler alert, be human. So, yeah, I mean, this book was all right. I'm not happy with, you know, with the whole depowering thing. It seems like a weird turn for the book.
New Avengers 25 had the Illuminati doing things.
I'm trying to even remember. Like, I read this 2 weeks ago, so I don't remember.
New Avengers 25?
I was kind of like that, too, when I was writing down my little summary. I was like, what happened in this issue? All I remember is beards.
What it is I think this issue explains what's been happening in the last couple of issues just from these characters' points of view. So it's basically just a retelling of the same story, but from a far different perspective and just kind of filling in the other side of the story.
So although, don't we find out that Wakanda is completely wiped off the map now?
That's my understanding. And they also integrate Brian Braddock, Captain Britain, into the Illuminati.
Oh, that's right. I like that.
I did too. But where's Hank Pym? We didn't see him.
Yeah, Breaking Time. Oh, no, wait, that's Hank. Never mind. Anyway. They've got their secret base that they're hiding in. They can't jump, otherwise it'll give away their coordinates.
Right. You know what was cool about that secret base, though?
Anyone? That was from the S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's right. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Which I need to go back and read.
It's not finished yet, but yeah, you could go back and read the four issues or of the most recent version of the most recent edition, a volume of it.
I like Amadeus Chow using the line from The Rock from his old WWE days. There, well, you can take that sandwich and you can stick it straight up your candy. but the weird thing is, and I don't know if this is just random chance or if there's some sort of deliberate shadowing going on here, but the relationship between Sue Storm and Reed Richards here, it mirrors a lot of what happened in the Ultimate Universe. And so I'm kind of wondering if that is done on purpose or if it's just they hate the Fantastic Four, so they're finding any way they can break them apart, even if it is in Ultimate and 616. But the way the two were broken apart in Ultimate Universe is that he turned evil and she turned against him and she did whatever it took to track him down and to keep him locked up, and she didn't trust him, and she knew that his intellect was not good for humanity and the world and whatever. And it seems like they're doing that same type of thing here, although here Reed Richards, you know, maybe justified and she's the evil one, but it's that same point of view that they had in the Ultimate Universe. So I don't know if it's a deliberate shadowing of the two or if it's just they hate the Fantastic Four. Any way they can break them up is what they'll do.
Plus, this we might have seen some seeds for this laid in the Fantastic Four number 11, right?
Somewhat.
Is that the issue that came out this week?
Yes. Yes, somewhat.
And I haven't read regular Fantastic Four in so long.
I mean, I try to read it, and I always have such trouble recapping it because, you know, I know what the greater arc is. You know, it's a break down the Fantastic Four and then build them back up slowly. And there's only, what number are we up to right now? Seven?
Oh, seven.
No, 11. 11. When are they canceling it? Like,
sometime in the spring.
All right, so they still got a good number of books left to try to build up the Fantastic Four and put them back in their blue costumes and, you know, reunite them so that they can send them off with a bang. Or at least the book with a bang. You know, the book is still, you know, the FF trying to be survive on their own. White Wingfoot and She-Hulk get together and say, look, there's something going on with the Fantastic Four. Someone's out to get them, and we figured out something's going on that's affecting the four of them. And there is an appearance at the end by your friendly neighborhood wall crawler, and another appearance by an archer who bears a very strong resemblance to a character from, where's the spoiler alert? The Heroes Reborn universe. And the final page, the final caption in this book is next, Heroes Reborn? Question mark. So we'll see where that goes. Honestly, you know, FF, I feel like Tim when he says, well, they announced that they're going to cancel, so I don't know if I want to read it anymore.
You have to see how it ends.
Right, but I'm such a fan of the characters that I may just stick it out. You know, thank God for our show that forces me to read some of this stuff, or else I would never pick it up.
All right. Anything else?
Anyone read Ms. Marvel number 9?
Not yet.
I had a lot of fun reading this book. I'm having a lot of fun reading Ms. Marvel. You know, I give G. Willow Wilson a lot of credit for keeping this very lighthearted, but at the same time, interesting. And, you know, there's a nice twist at the end of this book. Just very quickly, Medusa finally makes contact with Kamala Khan.
Oh.
You know, last issue, she dispatched Lockjaw to kind of be Kamala Khan's companion, but Medusa in this issue reaches out and makes contact, and it's just a very, you know, listen, Alphona is hitting on all cylinders. You know, G. Willow Wilson is giving him a lot of, I think, freedom with the layouts, and, you know, it's just a very fun book. The art is quirky, but not terribly distracting. So, you know, I just had a lot of fun reading this. You know, I think the characterization is, especially of the Pakistani American family and the mother and the parent daughter relationship, and even the parent dog relationship, is just, you know, it's pretty funny. It's pretty it hits all the right notes for me.
I'm confused. Does Lockjaw have one of those like Snidely Whiplash mustaches going on? What is?
I thought he always had one of those.
Jowl. Yeah, it's just a it's just his lips, you know. Yeah, that's funny. I like the way Alphona does Lockjaw. It's very cool. It's very cool. So, you know, this is a sleeper pick for my click of the week this week. Believe it or not.
Okay. And the only other thing I read was Uncanny X-Men 27, but not too much really happened in it. The X-Men and S.H.I.E.L.D. confront, I think his name is Matthew Malloy.
Mm-hmm. Right, they have to tread lightly.
Yes, tread lightly.
But then he sees through all of it. He figures out the jig, you know, the jig is up. They can't fool him anymore. And what else happens? I'm trying to remember.
That's about it. He teleports all the X-Men back to their homes.
Right. But then Cyclops.
He's so considerate.
Right. But then Cyclops may well have something in mind for Matthew Malloy. And that's where we leave off with to be continued.
Yes.
That's where we leave with that.
Nobody else read Green Lantern New Guardians?
I tried. I didn't finish it. I just realized I didn't finish it.
I felt like this was a much better chapter of Godhead than what we got last week with Green Lantern Corps.
Because it dealt with, you know...
it dealt with the White Lantern, but it also dealt with trying to explain it.
Yes.
The rogue,
whole point of the white light and the life equation.
Yeah, the rogue Guardians, hence the new Guardians, I guess, they actually try to explain to Kyle what his powers are and what it means, and him, you know, going through the source wall, how that changed him and why the new gods are looking for him. And so as they're explaining it to him, you as the reader can kind of sit there and go, oh, okay, now I see, you know. And we do get High Father making an appearance here. So he's explaining, you know, to Kyle even more about what's going on and why it happened. And, you know, just kind of explaining, like, he says we had to steal all of these rings. And we had to, because if we asked, would you have given them to us? And, of course, Kyle's like, well, no, I guess we wouldn't have. So, he's kind of come to an understanding with High Father about what's going on. And so even though he is separated from the Green Lanterns, he's in another part of the universe, he's been hidden away from them, they think he's dead, whatever, this brings him back into the fold of the main story because he can't hide from the new gods. And so, there's going to be this growing confrontation between Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner when they eventually come back together. So I'm kind of waiting to see how that, you know, plays out. But again, as far as where this fits into the story, I still feel like last week's Green Lantern Corps was kind of like a side story, side chapter, just kind of showing, you know, meanwhile on the other side, just kind of showing what they're up to, where this actually feels like here's a chapter that will play into the ongoing story. So I was much more satisfied with this chapter than I was last week.
Well, I think it makes sense because this is the White Lantern book, you know. So that was that's the whole point of High Father's search up until now.
So, yeah, I like it. I feel much better about the story than I did last week.
All right. I didn't make my way. I wasn't able to finish this in time to talk about it on the show. But, you know, I'm willing to give this particular series, you know, this crossover a try because it's got a cool premise.
Did you read Justice League? Anybody?
No.
Nobody.
Didn't get to it.
Hold on. I may have gotten to it. Hold on. I don't remember, and that's not a good sign. It's not a good sign if it's
basically all that memory. This is where they publicly announced the cooperation between Bruce Wayne and Wayne Tech and Lex Luthor.
Oh, I did read this.
And basically, he's got all of the Justice League ready to pounce.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Wayne's going in with Lex to take a look around. He's like, the moment I see something illegal, I'm going to send out the signal. Everybody come in and bust him. And, of course, every time, you know, he asks about something or tries to find something, it turns out that it's on the level. It's not illegal. Like, everything, you know, Lex Luthor is morally wrong in what he's doing, but there's nothing legally wrong about the research and development that he does at LexCorp. You know,
I was about to say, there's what, 95% of his business is probably legit.
Right. So he keeps trying to trap him, and, you know, there's the mental, chess game going on between the two of them. So I enjoyed that. But then, of course, at the last minute, this other random threat appears that's gunning to kill Lex Luthor and is going to, you know, take out a whole bunch of innocent people in the process, doesn't really care. And so, you know, luckily the whole Justice League is there to kind of jump on this, but now you've got this other threat to worry about and there's something else going on that's,
right.
You know.
Something else happens at the end of this book that I thought, you know, was just a little too soon, especially given what's going on in the news lately.
Well,
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it.
But they couldn't have known when they were writing it, right? They couldn't have known when they were writing it, though. I mean, maybe Jeff Johns can see the future.
Oh, man. When I saw that, I was like, oh, man, too soon. Too soon.
But what are you going to do?
You got to love it. All right. So. Maybe that's the only thing I remember about this book is the ending and thinking, oh, wow, really? Too soon. What else did I read this week? I read through a lot of this stuff. Storm number 4 was a Death of Wolverine kind of tie-in. It's Storm dealing with Wolverine's death, and Yukio makes an appearance, and kind of reveals one more aspect of Wolverine's life that no one knew about, including Storm. So, you know, it's interesting, but you know, it's interesting to see Yukio make a reappearance in the X-Books. But you know, the story itself is okay. We do see the reappearance of a couple of minor characters, and we see what they've been up to. Moses Magnum being one of them. It was kind of interesting to see him make a minor appearance in this book. You know, I'm not going to spoil too much of it because you know it doesn't really do much in this issue. There's basically an underground fight club between rival criminal organizations around the world, and that's how they settle their disputes, and that's what the story is kind of about. And Storm kind of getting into it because Wolverine was Yukio's champion. She's one of the bosses in this organization. So it was interesting, but I don't know if I'd recommend it to anyone that's not kind of well versed in Marvel history or X-Men history.
Clicks in a week.
I'm going to stick with my sleeper pick, Ms. Marvel number 9. I enjoyed this book. Of all the books I read this week, I definitely enjoyed this book.
I'm probably looking at the stuff I actually read. I'm going to go over to Avengers World number 14.
Nice.
Not Death of Wolverine 4? I think I'm going to go back over to Batman and Robin. And not only that, but they had this cool monster alternate cover where it's the mummy of Batman and Robin coming out of their sarcophagi.
Who did the art on that? That's actually pretty cool.
If you'd asked me an hour ago, I could have told you. Now I don't remember.
That's funny.
I can't remember. But they're doing all these monster variant covers for this month because it's Halloween. And I thought that one was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I remember. Oh, yeah. There's this one. Batman Superman was Wolfman.
Okay.
Wolves. So that's, you know.
All right. All right. So before we go, I wanted to show a couple more tidbits from New York Comic Con, some sketches I got. This is a Captain America by Damian Scott. It's pretty cool. This was a quickie sketch from Jim Chung of Thor. And Walt Simonson, who's just one of the most awesome dudes around, did a quick Captain America for me.
That's cool.
Very Simonson. Very, very Simonson. And in terms of prints, I picked up from Jim Chung some of my favorite stuff. Actually, Dirt might recognize this. Michael Golden did a Marvel poster back in the day that I always wanted, and he was selling prints of it. Do you recognize this?
I see a big square of glare.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll tilt it. How's that?
No, I...
You don't recognize that? Well, it's an old Marvel poster that he did with, like, the Watcher on one side and, like the majority of the Marvel characters are sort of going from left to right. And he was selling prints, and it was pretty cool to get that done. And Jim Chung had two cool prints. I'm trying to avoid the glare. This is a page from Infinity.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having that one.
Yeah. And this is a splash. I guess it's a wraparound cover that he did for the Marvel 75th trade paperback or something like that. And, you know, this one is actually really nice. And these are going to be framed.
Yeah, I have a couple prints that I got from him from MegaCon 2 years ago. One of them was a page from the
Avengers versus X-Men?
No, Young Avengers.
Oh, Young
Crusade, and then the new black and gold Iron Man.
Yes, yes, yes. Which one was it? Was it this one? Because I know I got this 2 years ago. Or this one?
Is that one? The
there
second one.
There you go. I got to get these framed too. I got to, you know.
There, that one's framed and hanging. Both of them actually framed and hanging in my bedroom.
There you go. I got to do that. I have to
go to your local
Michaels.
Yes, Michaels. That's what I was gonna say.
Michaels seems to have like a nice stock of frames. I got to go hit them up.
The nice cheap ones, cause, especially because the print sizes differ so much in sizes.
Yeah, it's like 8x18, or no, it's like 12x18, I think it is. So it's not quite 11x17. It's a little bit bigger than 11x17, like the regular comic page.
Closing remarks.
Hey, wait. We missed one news story. New York Comic Con. They announced that following the success of the X-Files ongoing series, that they're going to launch a Millennium series, which Millennium is one of my favorite all-time TV shows. I not only watched it over and over and over again, but when my wife and I, when we were dating, we kind of broke up for a while, but she kept always wanting to come over and hang out, and I always used to say, hey, I'm watching Millennium. You got to sit and you got to watch the show. No talking during the show. And so always used to sit and watch Millennium, and they're going to relaunch it from IDW, so I'm really looking forward to this.
Congrats. I'm glad to hear that they're bringing something back that you really want to read.
And so actually next week's issue of X-Files is going to be his first return, the return of Frank Black in that X-Files issue, and then leading into this series that's going to launch next year.
Cool.
So there you go.
That's awesome. That's good news for you, Dirt.
I love it.
That's awesome. I have never seen that show, but good for you. You know what I'm saying?
What? All right, yeah, you're out of my will.
You can make sure to follow Dirt on his Twitter account, @PCN_Dirt, and go to popculturenetwork.com. Follow myself, @TimDogg98, and @TheClickNation. Agent 70 is @Agent_70. Roddy Cat is @RoddyCat. And @NewsNerdsNeed. So I will more than likely not be on the episode next week, but I may be hitting up Classic Material to see if he would like to fill in for me and run hosting duties. We'll see how that goes.
Awesome.
If not, one of you gentlemen are more than welcome to attempt it.
You got it. We'll take care of it.
Let's do it on myself.
Ah! We'll take care of it.
Yeah, I need to see if Roddy Cat's on the show can make it next week, then I may not hit Classic up. If not, I will. So we shall see.
Sounds good. We will take care of it in your absence.
And with that, we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!